very much. Thank you for doing this, actually.
Thank you.
I'm glad you're doing it. And Sal, you're right. It's long past due. We haven't had, there hasn't been an organized march protesting this war. And it is 7 years old today. And it's very, very old by war standards and all standards.
Thanks for highlighting this.
Thank you, guys. Coming up in just a bit, we're going to be speaking with our man from CESA, Phil Korman, and talking about tapping the wealth from trees here in the valley.
And now, back to the Bill Dwight Show.
Hello. Like, it's wicked spring out there. I mentioned that. The sap is running, literally and figuratively. It depends. A lot of middle-aged men walking around looking pretty stupid and getting in accidents, bumping into cars, looking at bare skin. But the sap is literally running in trees now. The liquid gold that courses through the trees here and maple, sugar maples all throughout the valley and all up to Vermont, too, I hear. But more so down here, because given the weather, it's going to be almost close to 70 today. But at night, it still gets down to below freezing. By my understanding, that's flat perfect for the sap to run. We're talking with our man from CESA, Phil Korman, is here this morning, and he's brought along with him Chip Williams from the Williams Farm over in Deerfield. And fifth generation, is that right, Chip?
Yeah, that's right.
Yep. I mean, because you guys are a rare and rarer breed, a fifth generation farming family. That's a significant accomplishment.
Yeah, it's a long time.
Yeah, yes, it is. Yeah, and you guys, have you for the five generations, have you been tapping trees, or have you been doing? But you're doing the variety farming throughout the whole valley, produce and stuff.
Yeah, we also have we raise about 300 acres of sweet corn, 12 acres of pickling cucumbers. A couple years ago, we put in a little asparagus. So we, you know, try and do a variety of different things.
Yeah, once upon a time, asparagus used to run rife all throughout this valley, yeah. And then a blight came,
yep,
and struck it out. So you guys now have a new, hardier version of
It's disease, you know, resist. It's been bred to be resistant to disease and whatnot. So
yeah, it was called Hadley grass at one point, right? It was known in New York City as Hadley grass.
Mm.
So you guys, it is. Am I wrong about the sap run? This is it's been pretty good days.
Yeah, it's actually been terrible.
I could
think of some other adjectives, but
no, yeah,
this isn't the Howard Stern show. So
I appreciate that. Oh, really? It's been why has it been terrible?
Just it hadn't been quite getting cold enough at night. We had some beautiful days, but we needed to get down to the low 20s for a long period of time. Like most of the night, it may have been getting down. You know, maybe at 3 o'clock in the morning, it just would touch 25, and then it would start warming up again. You know, once the sun came up, and it's just not quite enough cold.
Now, how about last week though? Was it better? Really, it would
say, we're probably at 20% of a total crop.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
No, 20%. The thing is that the part. Well, I know you guys use the osmosis system.
Yeah, reverse osmosis.
Reverse osmosis, and we'll talk about that in a second. But the people don't. Is the ratio right about 40 gallons of sap to make a gallon of syrup?
Yeah, on average, depending on the year, it differs from tree to tree. Some trees are sweeter than others.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no real explanation. I mean, scientific explanation to it. It's just the way it is. With the reverse osmosis machine, we can take water out of that sap before we actually boil it. So instead of taking 40 gallons of sap to make a gallon of syrup, we can it take 10 to 8 gallons of sap to make a gallon of syrup.
So that would...
It saves time. It saves us. We use oil, an oil-fired evaporator, right. So it saves us a ton of oil.
So when you're using an evaporator, you're using an oil-fired evaporator, yep, as opposed to a wood-fire evaporator,
exactly.
which wood-fire evaporators look really nice when you're going by the woods and you see a cabin and you know, those old tree taps with the little roofs over the buckets and stuff. That's all very...
Yep.
But there's not a lot of systems running like that unless they're just doing it for show.
Yeah, there a lot of syrup is made under a wood fire. Larger operations tend to use oil. It's just it seems to be more efficient. You need a lot of wood to make syrup. So you know, I don't know, anyone probably making over 1,000 gallons a year or so. They tend to use oil. Well, there are some larger producers that do use wood still.
We're talking with Chip Williams, who's a fifth-generation farmer here in the valley, and has been tapping trees. How much product do you guys put out annually?
With the amount of taps this year, we should produce 2,500 gallons of syrup. We're boiling for about 10,000 taps, and we've made about 450 gallons.
10,000 taps? That's 10,000 trees.
No, some trees will have more.
Multiple taps?
Yeah.
And then you're running the lines, the vinyl lines,
a good portion of that is the pipeline. We actually set out 3,000 buckets of our own, so we still do use a lot of buckets.
Really? So how often do you have to go collect the buckets?
This year it hasn't been very often. I think some of them we've gathered twice, and the other half we've gathered three times, which is very rare. Sometimes on a good year, you're every other day, you're at the same buckets, emptying them out. And this year it's been once a week.
Really? Really?
Yep.
I'd imagine that the buckets, collecting the buckets, labor intensive. You're trudging through snow in some cases. I don't imagine there's much snow left, but you know when it's even good, you're trudging through snow, going from tree to tree to tree to tree with a bucket and dumping whatever how many inches of sap you got.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot of work. You know, we carry 2 5-gallon pails, and like you said, just go from tree to tree and empty the buckets out and haul them back to the truck and. It's a lot of work,
and all that figures into the cost. As we said, I mean, you know, once upon a time, people used to joke that it was worth as much as a gallon of oil, but it's long surpassed that now.
Yeah,
it's like worth a gallon of gold.
Yeah, right, exactly.
so Phil,
yeah, and just to give a sense of this, so you know, the Williams farm, which is in Deerfield, they're basically with their 2,500 gallons, they're actually producing 5% of the maple syrup in Massachusetts.
Wow. Oh, okay. So you guys are a significant contributor to
that. So, yeah, we're proud to have this fifth generation farm still doing this. And they have a, you know, great restaurant that they also serve the maple syrup in during the maple season. So a sugar shack in essence. And so it is so labor intensive and, it's challenging to do, and it's, you know, Chris and I were just talking. It's like, it's so amazing that the work that Chris and his family does obviously depends on the weather. And can you imagine if when we went to work, it would be like, oh, no, it's raining. I'm not going in today, and I won't get paid because there's no roof over my head. You know, the weather totally dictates how they're going to do, and it's totally unpredictable.
Right, and that's the nature of farming in itself. It's the variables that put you guys at risk. And when you guys are doing your cost averaging, you're not doing from on a yearly basis. You're projecting out over multiple years to see if you can sustain the loans that you've got and everything else. So how are you guys doing otherwise? If you got a kind of a season that's not panning out, you know, and here's hoping for you guys that it gets cold again. But how does it become exponentially harder every year to sustain yourselves?
I don't know. There's good years and there's bad years. 2 years ago, we made 4,000 gallons of syrup. You know, I guess you just have to take the good with the bad and just deal with it. You know, I don't find myself worrying a lot because it doesn't do any good. Like dealing with Mother Nature, just there's things you have no control over.
So you find that psychologically that you've made an adjustment that, say, someone who's into stocks and trading has not made that adjustment. So your blood pressure's at an even keel.
Well, yeah, I like to think so.
By the way, I should tell folks that the sugar shack that Phil was referring to, the Williams Farm Sugar House, is open from – well, it's been open since the 15th.
Yeah.
Right. Right after Valentine's Day, and it's open till April 13th.
April 3rd. Yeah, the Saturday before Easter.
Okay. Yep. So you can spare people. I was going to say April 13th. You could go get stoked up on sugar products and then go pay your taxes or something. But you guys run from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. and then weekends 8 a.m. to 3 p.m.
Yep.
Right. So.
Yep.
And you guys have been packing them in.
Yeah, it's been the restaurant has been doing well this year. We actually had we had the Maple Kickoff. March is Maple Month. We had Scott Soares, the Commissioner of Agriculture, come out and tap the ceremonial tree. right in front of our sugar house. And that following weekend, we had our busiest weekend ever. You know, we got some press. The TV stations were down and whatnot. So it was good.
Well, so you guys got tapped to be the first tap of the ceremonial tap of the Massachusetts.
We already had all our taps out, but they do it. And I don't know what was the date, the 5th, I believe it was March 5th when he came in.
Right. He was out here. He had him on the radio here that day. So we're speaking with Chip Williams from the Williams Farm over in Deerfield. We're also speaking with Phil Corman, our man from CESA. We're going to continue our conversation because I need to know about the prospects of syrup and my ability to get it and gather it myself this season. So we'll be right back with those guys.
And now back to the Bill Dwight Show.
Hello, sap's running. Yes, that's right. It's spring. It's warm. The sap is running. And now an alert. Apparently, according to Phil Corman, our man from CESA, who was here with us this morning, along with Chip Williams of the Williams Farm, fifth generation farmer. If you want to see sugaring off, the process of sugaring off, which sounds like a euphemism for something else, but it's actually the process of developing maple products from maple sap, the boiling, as it's known, and sugar shack kind of activity is going to end soon. Is that right, Chip?
Yeah. I don't even know. We hope to boil this weekend. As of right now, we don't have any sap at the sugar house. Maybe we can scrounge a little up for the weekend, because we do like to boil on weekends. We like people to come out and see the process, you know, see what they're buying, you know, see how it's made. So hopefully we can find some sap somewhere and be able to boil.
Sap running season is brutally short then.
It is. We started tapping, setting our buckets out February 22nd. And it hasn't even, what's today, the 17th?
Yeah. Right.
It hasn't even been a month. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, but in that time, it's interesting because people in New England actually come to take maple syrup for granted. And, you know, you go out west and they're pouring something god-awful on your pancakes. It's made from corn or something, but right?
I was going to say corn, and if it has 1% maple syrup, they brag about
it. It's called maple-flavored product. We actual maple syrup, clearly an enormous difference and clearly also obviously enormous value. You guys now don't, but it's a reductive process. It's you know, you're taking the natural product of sap from the trees and you're boiling it down and reducing it to sugar as syrup. But then you take it even further. Right now, actually, this is the benefit of having Phil bring people in, is we have a maple glazed donut. We have maple pecans, maple covered peanuts, and maple sugar candy in the form of an Easter bunny. And so this process is another extension of maple products, and there's a unique flavor to maple products that's not comparable to anything else in the world. So you now make this stuff too?
Yeah, you know, we try and do some value added products, anything beyond syrup. So maple sugar, maple cream. It's cooked more than syrup. So syrup, we cook to 219 degrees. To make the maple cream, we'll cook the syrup to 238 degrees, cool it down to 60 degrees, and then stir it. Maple candy gets cooked to 245 degrees. So essentially all we're doing is just taking more water away from the syrup.
And you don't have to add, you're not adding anything else.
No, nothing's added.
And you were telling me about your Uncle Milton.
Yeah.
Right? Your Uncle Milton was...
He was 84 when he passed away last year, I believe, and that was his deal. He loved to make sugar, and it was great because it was something that he could do, even into his 80s. It was one of the last things he did, and fortunately he did pass on some of the knowledge to me, so I was able to continue. But a lot of it's just trial and error. Just doing it is the best experience.
Well, I have to say that your trial and error has resulted in some rather tasty stuff here.
Thank you.
pretty darn good. And Phil, you recently had an experience that wasn't quite as successful.
Yeah, so two quick things. One, you know, if you go to buylocalfood.org, we have a link there so you know which sugar shacks are going. And people should just call ahead of time. You know, in the hill towns, they'll probably be tapping longer. It's colder, and so there'll be more boiling. So really, the next couple of weeks, people need to think about that. I'm actually giving a chance for Bill to take a bite out of this donut here. So it's kind of a donut break. So the other thing to know is the reason what happens is as more of the water evaporates and the sugar concentration gets higher, the boiling point goes up. So that's why it's at 219 degrees when you have your syrup, because 212 would just be water, but the sugar concentration ups the boiling point. Now, what I discovered yesterday in my little backyard attempt, which I do every year, and we enjoy it throughout the year, we usually make about 2 gallons, is I now have entered the ranks of those folks who have burnt their product. And I have created
a
new product
too, actually,
called maple molasses. So I kind of might have been between that, probably under the 244 you were saying?
Yeah.
For candy, yeah. But above the maple cream.
Well, and you know, anyone who's ever tried to do this thing, which is another New England tradition, is taking maple syrup and boiling it down and putting it on snow or scalding children on occasion, but which is my experience when I was a kid. But, you know, and turning it into basically like a maple taffy. Or sometimes it also turns it into a hard crystalline candy, depending on clearly on the boiling point. What's the ideal point? Of course, there's no snow for people to put it on right now. You can put it on mud, but that's probably not quite as good.
Yeah,
but
we use crushed ice. We have for quite a few years. We did. I mean, I remember the days when we did go out behind the sugar house and fill bowls up with natural snow. And the syrup is cooked to actually the same temperature as the cream, about 238. It varies from day to day depending on the atmospheric pressure and whatnot. But we do try it. So as it's boiling, I will put a spoon into the boiling syrup and then put it on snow to make sure it is just right, so it stays on top of the snow.
Yeah, that was the other thing that used to happen, was that it would completely melt the snow that you were putting on, and you just had a lot of wet maple product on the bottom. You know what? And it never tasted bad. I bet even Phil's, whatever the hell it was that he made, I bet that tastes good too, actually. I mean, right?
Yeah, maybe. I want to put a plug in for maple cream. Can I do that? Because
that's something that
I have been buying for years. And whenever I go outside the area, I bring it with me, because you can't get it outside a maple producing area because it has to be refrigerated. So it just adds a cost that makes it too expensive a product. But even if you visit your most gourmet ghetto relative and you bring this, they've never had it before. Nothing is better on toast in the morning than a little maple cream.
Maple cream is, and you're right. You can't get it through mail order for the most part. You can't get it. I mean, it's hard to find. So, it's a genuine regional local delicacy. So you guys. So by the way, we're speaking with Chip Williams of the Williams Farm. The Williams Farm Sugar House is open until April 3rd. They may not be boiling down sap, but they're still serving food and pancakes and all the other stuff, all the other associated good stuff that goes with that. Including pancakes, eggs, bacon, sausage, and all that stuff. And, yeah, that just makes me crazy. and then in the regular season, you guys have a farm stand too, right?
No, we actually, our farm operation is kind of the opposite of the sugaring. We're mainly wholesale.
Okay, really?
For the sweet corn and stuff, yeah.
And but you distribute locally?
Yeah, we do. Okay. We do Foster's Supermarket in Greenfield, Big Y in Greenfield, Food City in Turner's Falls.
So as what Commissioner Soares refers to as the food shed here in the Valley.
Yeah.
You're a significant portion of that by all accounts.
Yep.
So you're a big operation, actually.
One of the larger farms.
We account for a huge chunk of the maple syrup industry here in Massachusetts.
So. Yep.
And, you know, we were with Steve Sauter, we were ranking on the fact that local television news is focusing on another state and their maple syrup product. But the fact is that we have the same great bounty here. Phil?
Yeah, I just want to put in a plug for a couple of things. If you go to buylocalfood.org, again, you can find the where you can get maple syrup and two other things. One is, people who are interested in buying a share, a farm share, and really now's the time to lock it in, because our CSA farmers, they do sell out. So we have that on our homepage again. And the last thing is, we're always looking for folks who want to volunteer with us. And so we have Taste the View coming up in the fall, and we're always looking for help.
Phil Korman, our man from CESA. Chip Williams, our man from Deerfield. Thank you very much. Thank you, guys. Thanks for the food and the breakfast. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
Coming up tomorrow, it's Phone In Friday. Call in. It's about health care reform, and we're going to go all bipartisan on you with Buttercup Bill Scheer and Republican Isaac Mass, and we'll take your calls. Talk to you then.